Episode 13 on well-being. Before I get this started, does anybody know whether or not you should number things 13 at all? Like, I know there's not a number 13 in the elevator, but does that apply to anything else? Like, should I name this episode episode 14, even though it's 13? All right, well, I will just roll with what I got. So anyway, this is episode 13 on well-being. Okay, I'm going to let far more articulate people do the talking for most of this episode. With acceptance, there's been two books that have really resonated with me. A New Earth, which many of you are probably already acquainted with, and The Courage to Be Disliked, which I mentioned earlier this week, and I think I mentioned it before on the podcast, but I'm going to pull from the latter because I really enjoy the way the information is conveyed. I'm going to read two chapters, and the way the book is written is as a conversation between a philosopher and a young student or youth looking for the key to his own change or evolution in many ways. Apologies if the episode creeps past the 5-minute mark, but I think you'll enjoy it either way. So let's start with the chapter titled, Are You Okay Just As You? It starts on page 25 for those of you who either own the book or are going to buy the book. Philosopher. Okay, let's go back to your query. So you'd like to be a more upbeat person, like why? Why is the name of a person subbed in this context, by the way. Youth. But you just rejected that and said it was out of the question. Well, I guess that's just how it is. I was just saying that to give you a hard time. I know myself well enough. I could never be someone like that. Philosopher. Why not? Youth. It's obvious, because we have different personalities, or I guess you could say dispositions. Philosopher. Youth. You, for instance, live surrounded by all these books. You read a new book and gain new knowledge. Basically, you keep accumulating knowledge. The more you read, the more your knowledge increases. You find new concepts of value, and it seems to you that they change you. Look, I hate to break it to you, but no matter how much knowledge you gain, your disposition or personality isn't going to basically change. If your base gets skewed, all you've learned will be useless. Yes, all the knowledge you've acquired will come crashing down around you, and then the next thing you know, you'll be back to where you started. And the same goes for Adler's ideas. No matter how many facts I try to accumulate about him, they're not going to have any effect on my personality. Knowledge just gets piled up as knowledge until sooner or later it's discarded. Philosopher. Then let me ask you this. Why do you think you want to be like Y? I guess you just want to be a different person, whether it's Y or someone else. But what is the goal of that? Youth. You're talking about goals again? As I said earlier, it's just that I admire him and I think I'd be happier if I were like him. Philosopher. You think you'd be happier if you were like him? Which means that you are not happy now, right? Youth. What? Philosopher. Right now, you are unable to feel really happy. This is because you have not learned to love yourself. And to try to love yourself, you are wishing to be reborn as a different person. You're hoping to become like Y and throw away who you are now. Correct. Youth. Yes, I guess that's right. Let's face it. I hate myself. I, the one who's doing this playing around with old-fashioned philosophical discourse and who just can't help doing this sort of thing, yes, I really hate myself. Philosopher. That's all right. If you were to ask around for people who say they like themselves, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who'd puff up his or her chest and with pride and say, yes, I like myself. Youth. How about you? Do you like yourself? Philosopher. At the very least, I do not think I would like to be a different person, and I accept who I am. Youth. You accept who you are? Philosopher. Look, no matter how much you want to be Y, you cannot be reborn as him. You are not Y, and it's okay for you to be you. However, I am not saying it's fine to be just as you are. If you are unable to really feel happy, then it's clear that things aren't right just as they are. You've got to put one foot in front of the other and not stop. Youth. That's a harsh way of putting it, but I get your point. It's clear that I'm not right just the way that I am. I've got to move forward. Philosopher. To quote Adler again, the important thing is not what one is born with, but what use one makes of that equipment. You want to be Y or someone else because you are utterly focused on what you were born with. Instead, you've got to focus on what you can make of your equipment. This chapter is pivotal when I think about the varieties of self-talk I experience. Underlying my worst days are these feelings of, why not me? I spent years of my life questioning why others received or achieved something I was struggling to attain, and at the same time, have had bouts of envy that made me wish I could swap places. Looking back over the journey, it feels like a lot of time wasted, coveting outcomes that weren't even the points, not realizing that there are many paths to the feelings I was looking to experience. All right, let's look at the next chapter titled, Not Self-Affirmation, Self-Acceptance. Now, this chapter starts on page 208. Again, for those of you who already own the book or those of you that are looking to pick it up. Philosopher, first of all, let's look at what you were just saying about your self-consciousness putting the brakes on and not letting you behave in an innocent way. There are probably many people who experience this trouble. So let's go back to the source again and think about your goal. What could you be trying to gain by putting the brakes on your own innocent behavior? Youth. It's a genuine desire to not be laughed at, to not be thought of as a fool. Philosopher. So in other words, you do not have confidence in your innocent self, in yourself just as you are, right? And you stay away from the kind of interpersonal relationship in which you would just be yourself. But I'll bet that when you're home alone, you sing out loud and dance to music and speak in a lively voice. Youth. Ha ha! It's almost like you've set up a surveillance camera in my room. But yes, it's true. I can behave freely when I'm alone. Philosopher. Anyone can behave like a king when they're alone. So this is an issue that should be considered in the context of interpersonal relations. Because it isn't that you don't have an innocent self. It is only that you can't do such things in front of others. Youth. Well, what should I do then? Philosopher. It's about community feeling, after all. Concretely speaking, it's making the switch from attachment to self, in parentheses, self-interest, to concern for others, in parentheses, social interest, and gaining a sense of community feeling. Three things are needed at this point: self-acceptance, confidence in others, and contribution to others. Youth. Interesting. New keywords I see. What do they refer to? Philosopher. Let's start with self-acceptance. On our first night, I brought up that statement of Adler's. The important thing is not what one is born with, but what use one makes of that equipment. Do you remember this? Youth. Yes, of course. Philosopher. We cannot discard the receptacle that is the I, and neither can we replace it. The important thing, however, is what use one makes of that equipment. One changes one way of looking at the I. That is to say, one changes how one uses it. Youth. Does that mean be more positive and have stronger sense of self-affirmation? Think about everything more positively? Philosopher. There is no need to go out of one's way to be positive and affirm oneself. It's not self-affirmation that we are concerned with, but self-acceptance. Youth. Not self-affirmation, but self-acceptance? Philosopher. That's right. There is a clear difference. Self-affirmation is making suggestions to oneself, such as, I can do it, or I am strong, even when something is simply beyond one's ability. It is a notion that can bring about a superiority complex and may even be termed a way of living in which one lies to oneself. With self-acceptance, on the other hand, if one cannot do something, one is simply accepting one's incapable self as is and moving forward so that one can do whatever one can. It is not a way of lying to oneself. To put it more simply, say you've got a score of 60%, but you tell yourself, I just happened to get unlucky this time around, and the real me is 100%. That is self-affirmation. By contrast, if one accepts oneself as one is, as 60%, and thinks to oneself, how should I go about getting closer to 100%? That is self-acceptance. Youth. So even if you're only 60%, there's no need to be pessimistic? Philosopher. Of course not. No one is perfect. Do you recall what I said when I was explaining the pursuit of superiority? That all people are in this condition of wanting to improve? Put the other way around, there is no such thing as a 100% person. This is something we should actively acknowledge. Youth. What you are saying sounds positive in various respects, but it has a negative ring to it as well. Philosopher. Here I use the term affirmative resignation. Youth. Affirmative resignation? Philosopher. This is also the case with the separation of task. One ascertains the things one can change and the things one cannot change. One cannot change what one is born with. One can, under one's own power, go about changing what use one makes of that equipment. So in that case, one simply has to focus on what one can change rather than on what one cannot. This is what I call self-acceptance. Youth. What one can change and what one cannot? Philosopher. That's right. Accept what is irreplaceable. Accept this me, just as it is, and have the courage to change what one can change. That is self-acceptance. Youth. That reminds me of a line that the writer Kurt Vonnegut quoted in one of his books. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. It's in the novel Slaughterhouse-Five. Philosopher. Yes, I know it. It is the serenity prayer. These words are well known and have been transmitted for many years in Christian societies. Youth. He even used the word courage. I read the book so intently I should know it by heart, but I never noticed this point until now. Philosopher. It's true. We do not lack ability. We just lack courage. It all comes down to courage. Now, full transparency, when I first read this book, my ego took hold. I leapt for joy in my head when I saw that there was text pushing against self-affirmation because Instagram was full of it, still is, and I always found it to be quite useless. However, with a clear mind and spirit, I want to look at the chapter for what it's truly trying to communicate, without any judgment on self-affirmations and personal practice. What I take away is that self-affirmation sometimes puts us in a less than helpful framework. To use an extreme example, at 36, even if I had the best trainers and modern medicine at my fingertips, I'd probably never be able to compete in practically any sport at the Olympic level. And I don't even mean to focus on age. This might still be true if I started the journey as a young teen as well. Self-affirmation sort of blows past the honest assessment of one's own equipment. I simply can't do anything I put my mind to just because I focus on it and give it my all. And guess what? That's okay. If I can start acknowledging where I'm at and start making steps to understand how I can be better, that is really where we all want to be. If I'm telling myself I'm great, I just need to be better, I'm working blind. I'm blotting out any true understanding of my path or my capabilities towards growth. I really love this book and plan on reading it again. There's so much in there I'd love to cover, but I think the book probably will cover it better than me, even after my fifth or sixth time down the well. I'll leave you with this. Doing the work to move closer to self-acceptance, tapping into that courage, it really shakes up your internal energy. It's empowering. It's not some secret sauce. It doesn't make life easier, but without it, life is much harder than it needs to be. With that, have a great weekend.